I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you with a heart overflowing with joy to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today, and we pray that today's program of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Yes, indeed. We hope to dispense towards you that very, very quality of hope forever. Hope today and hope forever. And we say it often, and we are unapologetic about saying it. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. So I think, Grayson, the number one word we've talked about so far is the word hope, and we've just begun the broadcast. Grayson, when you hear the word hope, what kind of things go through your mind? What do you like for people to know about how you feel about the true idea of hope?
Well, when you think about hope, you think about happiness or encouragement or something good, maybe even despite your circumstances, despite the things you're going through, despite any hard times or sorrows that may be happening in your life. When you think about hope, it's a positive thing, a positive word.
Yeah, that would be the understatement of the day. It truly is a positive word. And we pray that hope will some way reach you today from up above, and that hope being the very person of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to continue on a series that we've been working at here and there. It's from a book that was written by a mentor of mine, Dr. Woody Stevens. The book is titled, How to Feel the Emptiness. So I don't know how you're feeling here in mid-January, toward the end of January, but I pray that if you're feeling empty, that today there will be a sense of feeling that comes into your life, and fulfillment is really what I'm asking the Lord in prayer as I speak even now to bring to you. And maybe even He'll use this program, this simple program, Front Porch Talks, to familiarize you once again with hope and fulfillment. And this book that we're reading today is a little book. It's more like a pamphlet, really, but it's a small book at best. But it really packs a big message. And the message is that the emptiness of your life and ours can be filled. We've been created with this idea that we need God. It's been called the vacuum within our soul. Some people have called it a space that only God can bring fulfillment. But whatever you want to label it, we were created by God, like God, in His image, but we were also created to need God to find fulfillment in our lives. And so I'm going to read a little bit of a story that Dr. Stevens wrote in his book, How to Fill the Emptiness. And then we're going to talk through a few points, a few ideas about the journey to wholeness. Here's the story that Dr. Stevens shares. I lived in New Mexico for 13 years. On the eastern side of the state, a city named Artesia is primarily known for its oil fields. Yates Petroleum Corporation is the major industry in the small town. During the Great Depression, there was a nearby sheep ranch owned by a man named Ira Yates. Because Yates couldn't make enough money on his ranch to pay his mortgage, he was in danger of being foreclosed upon and losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food for his family, Yates, like most of his neighbors, had to live off government welfare programs to stay alive. Day after day, as Yates grazed his sheep over his rolling hills, no doubt he worried about how to make ends meet. He must have agonized over how to break the cycle of poverty in which his family existed. Then one day, a crew from an oil company came to the area and convinced Yates there might be oil on his land. They got Yates to sign a contract, giving them permission to drill a test well. At 1,115 feet, the drillers struck a gusher, part of a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. In today's market, this translates into what would be a gross income of over $1 million a day from just one well. And that was just the beginning. Many more wells came in, some more than twice as productive as the first. All the time Yates and his family were living in poverty, they were sitting on top of some of the richest oil fields in the world. He was a potential multimillionaire living in poverty. What was the problem? He simply did not know the oil was there. I love that story. It's a story that makes you smile. This idea that this man was living in poverty, chasing sheep around his property, and all at once he learns that he has resources that were unknown to him previously. And that truly leads us in to the idea we want to share today on how to fill the emptiness. Journey on the incredible highway. Now we need to tap into the power that we need. You do not have to live in spiritual poverty. You can tap into God's vast resources and live supernaturally by the Spirit of God. Paul urged the believers in Ephesus to be filled with the Spirit. That is, of course, the Holy Spirit. We read that in the New Testament letter written by Paul, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. God has not only forgiven you and saved you from the empty life you used to live, but he has made provision for you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of Christ dwells within you and fills you through and through with himself, you find a fullness of joy and peace that is incomparable. You find life to the fullest. Let's just say you find fulfillment. God desires to fill his children with his Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, and self-control. When believers are filled with the Spirit of God, we live as his agents for his purpose and for his kingdom. When believers are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, holy love flows through them to the lives they touch. A holy God seeks a holy people. A holy people are those who have been set apart, sanctified, wholly his. For God's love to flow through a broken and a lost world, we must become filled with the Spirit. A life of holiness is characterized by God's presence, by God's purity, by God's power, and by God's love. The love shed abroad in our hearts by God's Holy Spirit. Now, Grayson and I are going to break down some of these thoughts that I just finished with in the last sentence. We're going to talk about God's presence. We're going to talk about God's purity. We're going to talk about God's power. And we're going to talk about God's love. We'll begin first with presence. God's presence. Could there be anything better than the constant abiding presence of the Spirit of God? When we invite God's Spirit to fill us through and through, we are inviting God to have full possession of every room in our lives. And God doesn't want just the rooms. He desires absolute sovereign ownership of our total life. It is a wonderful blessing for you and me to have the Holy Spirit of Jesus in our lives. Now, Grayson, when we talk about the presence of God filling us as human beings, we know that that is where hope really finds its foundation, is in the presence of God. So when you think about the presence of God that is available to us and wants to flow through us, what kind of thoughts might come to mind at first for you?
Well, Dad, when you're reading that story about the man who lived on the ranch and he was living in poverty, when in reality he was living on land that was so rich and had tons of oil underneath him, I just think about God's presence and how some of us aren't tapping in to his presence, even though it's available to us right at our fingertips, and how richly blessed our lives can be if we just take time to spend in God's presence and just building a relationship with him. And that's what he wants. He wants to spend time with us, and he wants us to spend time in his presence and acknowledge his presence in our lives.
That is such a good point, Grayson. And sometimes we forget that God's presence is limitless. I mean, there's not a short abundance on the presence of God. God is present everywhere at all times simultaneously. That's an amazing thought. You know, God is omnipresent. It means that he doesn't struggle with being many places all at once. As a matter of fact, he doesn't struggle being all places all at once. And so his presence is, as Grayson made the comparison, it's like that oil that was underneath the ground on that farmer's property in abundance, yet he was unaware of it. And on Front Porch Talks, what we want to do is share good news. And today we're sharing good news. And the good news is God's presence is available to me, to Grayson, to you. To all of God's children, God's presence is available. And we want to have God's presence. But you know what? It's even a greater blessing for God to have our presence. I mean, the idea is that we can belong to God and God can belong to us and vice versa. A blessing which leads to complete freedom is for God to have our presence made one with His presence. You know, we want God, but guess what? He wants us. So it goes both ways. It does amaze us. That's why we have songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. The idea is we can't not imagine that while we certainly need God, that God would also want us. But He desires our presence in His presence. And this is a beautiful, beautiful day by day living relationship that we are offered, in which the indwelling Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God, is Lord of our lives. He is the character of who we are in our essence. The Apostle Paul expressed it in Galatians 2 and verse 20 when he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am living, but at the same time I am not doing the living. It is the Holy Spirit of Jesus who lives within me that guides, directs, and supplies. What a joy-filled, peace-filled way to live. And so my prayer today is that we would live by faith and we would invite the presence of God to so engulf our lives that we basically lose our lives in His life. We lose our presence in His presence. But that's a good way to be lost. You know, some people are lost in absence, but we want to be lost in presence. In other words, people are lost apart from God. They chose this, and eternally they are lost forever. But we can choose now, while we're living on this planet, to be lost in the presence of God, and that, my friends, is to be found in a fulfilling place when we have been crucified with Christ, and it's like we no longer live, yet Christ lives in us, and His life has become our life. So the presence of God, Grace, is a pretty mighty thought. Any other things you want to add to that?
Well, in addition to spending time with Christ and getting lost in His presence, God also wants us to share His presence with those around us and to witness to those around us and to be His hands and feet to those around us. And we never know the people we come in contact with, our lives and our witness to them might be the only person that they see Jesus through in their life. And so we just need to not miss any opportunities that the Lord gives us to witness to others and to share Christ with others, whether it be through our words or through our actions.
That's good, Grayson, and a good transition to the next point we want to talk about. We want to talk about God's presence that's available to us. And secondly, we want to talk about God's purity that's available to us. In a moment of surrender and faith and confession, God's Holy Spirit cleanses the heart from willful rebellion and inward sin. A heart turned in upon itself, filled with pride and selfishness, is washed, purified by the Holy Spirit. The pure heart wills only one thing, to do the will of God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's Matthew 5 and verse 8. So Grayson, we don't want just to ask for the presence of God. We want to ask for the purity of God, because that's hope for us, when we can borrow the purity of God as a new beginning for our own lives. And we come not only into His presence, but we come into His purity. He shares His presence with us, and then He shares His purity with us. So Grayson, when you think about purity, Of course, that could be heart, mind, soul, strength, and all of the above. When you think about the Lord bringing to us not only forgiveness of our sins, but also cleansing from that inbred sin, that attitude of self-centeredness, what would you want to say, maybe in testimony or just in commentary, about the beauty of us having at our availability the purity of God Himself for our lives?
Well, the beauty of it is that it's not something that we have to earn or something that we have to do something to acquire. All we have to do is ask God for it. All we have to do is want it, and He'll purify us if we ask Him to purify us. And we just have to be willing for Him to do the work. It might not be easy. It might take time to straighten our lives up or to get God to help us get on the right track. But if we just surrender our lives to Him and give Him control of our lives, He will purify us and make us clean and give us a new life, new desires for our lives. And He will come live in our hearts if we ask Him to do so. And we'll have a new life, so to speak. So that's the beautiful part, is He'll take our old lives and make it new.
Yes, Grayson. And when I hear you talking, I'm thinking about dishes at our house. You know, if we have breakfast on our dishes, they're clean. But then after breakfast, they're dirty and they need to be purified. We wouldn't think of having lunch or supper on dirty dishes. And the truth is, we do not have to live lives with dirty vessels. We can have the Holy Spirit continuously cleansing us for His glory and for our good and for the good of others. And sometimes we don't talk a lot about some of the words in the Bible that tend to lean toward doctrinal ideas, but the word sanctify certainly includes purify. And we read in 1 John that the blood of Jesus Christ will purify us from all sin. So sin is a filth of sorts in our lives that Jesus came and gave His life for. So He came with His presence to give to us His purity so that we would not have to have vessels that were dirtied by sin and rebellion. And this is a beautiful, beautiful offering that God makes to us. And He wants to bring through us His purity. And God wants to share with us His holiness. That really is what it's about. Now, holiness is a God thing, but God sent His Son to share the God thing with us, holiness. We have everything we need in Jesus Christ. We have the presence of God, and we have the purity of God. The next idea is that we are offered the power of God. So we've talked about presence, we've talked about purity, and we've talked about power. And you add these three together, and you get a tremendous calculation of hope. I mean hope everlasting, real hope. Power is what we need in our lives, and God knew that, and so He sent His Son so we can know that. We can know His power in our day-to-day lives. God wants to enable us with His power to live victoriously the life of a Jesus believer. You know, I don't suppose anything is more frustrating than trying to live as a Jesus believer without the power to live like Jesus. And God's Holy Spirit empowers those who are sanctified, those who have surrendered their all to God for His presence and His purity. God empowers those to be His effective witnesses in their circles of influence. Paul encouraged Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That's recorded in the New Testament in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Can you imagine living your life in a spirit of power that enables you to be like Christ in every situation? It's an amazing thought. God's Holy Spirit is with us, within us, through His presence, through His purity, to empower us to live lives that please God. This is hope, my friends. This is the very definition of hope that is real. So, Grayson, when you think about power, the power of God, why might we need the power of God in our day-to-day lives?
Because if we don't have God's power, then we won't be able to stay pure. God's the one who purifies us if we ask him to do so. And in order to stay pure, we need his power in our lives in order to live victoriously, in order to have power over sin and power to not give in to temptation. So we need his presence in our lives, and we also need his power in our lives in order to do the things that he has for us to do, in order to live victorious and above sin.
Yes, indeed. Temptation's going to come to our lives. Even Jesus himself was tempted. But he gives us power to yield to himself rather than to yield to sin. So temptation's going to come, but never confuse temptation with sin. Because Jesus was tempted but was without sin. And what he wants to do is give us his presence in such a wonderful way, his purity in such a wonderful way, his power in such a wonderful way, that when we are tempted, we do not have to fall into sinning, but we can turn to worshiping. We can make the choice not to yield to sin, but to yield to him. This, my friends, is hope. And finally, that's not all. Not just God's presence, not just God's purity, not just God's power, but when you add all that together, you get God's love. And we have been extended a lease on the love of God. And he paid the price for the lease. If the baptism with the Holy Spirit is anything, it is first of all, primarily, a baptism of love that God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God's holy people are characterized by God's holy love. If we do not love, we do not belong to God. That's what the Word of God says in 1 John 4 and verse 8. To know God's love is to know his enabling presence, purity, and power, because everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, 1 John 4 and verse 7. And so the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God's Holy Spirit deals with each of us one-on-one. Your experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit will be unique to you because you are unique. Just as you experience people in your life differently from how others experience them, so you experience God's Spirit very uniquely. Don't discount your relationship with God's Holy Spirit because it's not like someone else's relationship. God knows you. He loves you as his own unique child. When some people are sanctified, they have a highly emotional experience. Others are quietly filled with a deep inner assurance of the Holy Spirit's presence, purity, and power. When you yield your rights as Lord of your own life to the sovereign Lord of all life, he fills you through and through with himself. We should not put God in a box by insisting that our experience with the Holy Spirit be just like everyone else's or even someone else's. It is beautiful to watch how graciously unique the Spirit of God is in dealing with each of his children when they surrender completely to him. When we invite Jesus into our hearts, we are saved. We are saved through his Holy Spirit, who comes and lives within us. It is a wonderful experience. We are truly saved. We are born again. We have the gift of eternal life. We receive all of the Holy Spirit in the moment of our conversion. However, the question remains, has he gotten all of us? So that's what sanctification is about. God wants to have all of us. And sanctification is about us signing our name at the bottom of a blank contract and trusting God to fill out the details of our lives for his glory, trusting him at a deeper level. And so we offer you today not only to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins, but also to be sanctified. In other words, to be set apart by the presence and the purity and the power and the love of God in such a way that not only do you have all of God, but he has all of you. And this, my friends, could be defined as hope. Grayson, if you'd like to add a few things, we're coming to the conclusion of our broadcast, but I'll let Grayson now just lean in with a few closing thoughts.
Well, when talking about God's love, I think the previous three things we mentioned, his presence, his power, his purity, that the reason he gives us those things is because he loves us. He wants to purify us. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants to be present in our lives, and he wants to give us his power, and he wants all these things because one day he wants us to spend eternity with him and his son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But we have to make that choice. We have to want his presence. We have to want his power. We have to want his purity. And he loves us no matter what, but he wants us to love him also. And in order to love him, we should live lives to honor him and to glorify him and to show our appreciation for all that he does for us. And I just think that he has wonderful things in store for our lives if only we will surrender our lives to him and obey him and follow him and give our lives completely to him for his will.
Good testimony, Grayson. Good words. And we want you to know that there's hope. And the hope is found in a God who wants to be your Savior so he can be your Lord. And I think because he gave his own life to save us from eternal darkness and sin and death and hell, that is enough credibility for us to trust him to be Lord of all. I pray that your life will be characterized by the beatitude that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I pray that others will also see God in you. I believe this is the hope for those who are truly saved, forgiven, and those who are truly sanctified, purified, empowered with the love of God through and through. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. And we pray that you will pray for us as well, that we will be pleasing in his sight. Until next time, God bless.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.